From the heart of the Forest City, Blackburn Media presents the Craig Needles Podcast, looking at the biggest stories in London and around the world and how they impact you. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
It is a brand new episode of the Craig Needles Podcast, the last one of 2021. We're going to take a week off next week. It's a short week. We'll be back at it in 2022. But to wrap up the year, and it's been a tough year in London, I wanted to talk to the mayor of this city, Ed Holder. We've had some really awful things that have happened in London this year. We've had some really cool things. I wanted to talk about all of that with him, sort of the gamut of emotions that we have run in this city this year. We continue to deal with the pandemic, obviously. We had a really successful Olympics, a lot of stuff in between that. So let's bring in the mayor of London, Ed Holder, for this final episode of 2021. Mayor Holder, thank you very much for joining us here on the Craig Needles Podcast. It's always good to talk to you.
Craig, a genuine pleasure. Thank you.
First, we can't do a look at what's gone on in London this year without talking pandemic first, unfortunately. And it's a situation where we're seeing case counts swing back up again to record numbers. Now, we aren't seeing the same strain on hospitals at this point, which is good. But when you look back on how we as a community have managed the pandemic over the last year, what comes to mind for you?
I guess the first thing I would say, Craig, is that Londoners have been bloody brilliant. You imagine that over 90% of eligible Londoners have had their first shots and almost that many their second. And now the only limitation on the booster is the limitation of booster shots as far as availability, but that will work itself through as well. I think Londoners' resiliency is what struck me the most. It hasn't just been 12 months, as you know well. We are almost a full 2 years of this. People are tired. And weary, and you know, the things I hear are, you know, I've done the right thing, I've done everything correct. Is this ever going to be over? But you know what? It's interesting because nothing is ever good or bad except by comparison. So I compare this year to a year ago, and while case counts are higher, I think your point that we don't know yet how wide we think we know that it'll be pretty extensive in terms of the ability to catch this virus. It's a spreader in and by itself, but we don't know the recovery, we don't know the duration, and truly how impactful it will be on people's health. You're right about the hospitalization piece less, and you know, please God it stays that way, because I think that is important, that we try to do this in a measured way. So imagine this: a year ago, could you have gone out to a restaurant? No. A year ago, could you have seen a hockey game or a basketball game? Well, today, there are limitations on that. You're able to do that. A year ago, could you have seen your family? I mean, there's a lot of things in 2021 that are better from the standpoint of what people are able to do, businesses that are able to stay open. You know, I'll give a stroke to the province. I think they tried hard to keep the economy going. And it's always that balancing act. It's what we deal with as a city. I talk daily to the medical officer of health of what's next. And in fact, we'll have our news conference pretty shortly again, and as we do a couple of times a week. And we just try to level with people where things are. But you know, I'm impressed by how Londoners care as deeply as they do, but I certainly understand why they're weary and how tired they have to be.
Yeah, of course. And it's definitely something that I don't think any of us could have clearly predicted. When you were elected mayor in 2018, I don't think you thought that you'd spend at least half your term. It'll probably wind up being more than that, fighting against a pandemic and having that sort of be the key thing in your job. That's the situation that we've all been put in, and we're doing the best we can, I suppose, right?
Well, I think you're right. Look, none of us signed up for COVID, but we signed up for the role, and we do that to the best of what we're able. And I remember in my visitor's guest book that I asked people to sign when they come into my office, and a lot less this year, believe me. But at the end of 2020, I just simply wrote, at the end of 2020, I'm turning the page, looking forward to a better 2021. little did I know that it would strike so hard and so deep into our community and across the country and around the world. But I'm optimistic. I mean, I don't think you can be in politics and not be a little bit that way. And I think Londoners are somewhat optimistic. It's better this year than it was last. I think that's important. I think the other part is that I at different points I think I said I can see the light, and I wasn't sure if it was the train coming at me or just the light at the end of the tunnel. But I think we're hopefully going through the worst stages of it from an increasing COVID count basis, and then on from there. But kudos to Londoners for doing what they've done.
What about our relationship and your relationship? You mentioned that you talk with Dr. Summers, and you're going to be doing that again later today. As we work through that together, obviously he has to keep you posted as to what's going on, because part of your job is keeping Londoners posted as to what's going on. So what's that relationship been like? What's that dynamic been like?
As I had with Dr. Mackey, extremely open, candid. And when one of the tools that a medical officer of health has is this ability to order what they call a Section 22, which are mandatory rules. And it's on that basis that I get particularly involved in terms of their range of their powers as medical officers of health. No one will ever make a decision to compromise the safety and well-being of Londoners. At the same time, we do not want to do things that will impede the health of businesses. So it's always striking that balance. That's part of the dialogue that we have had from time to time. One of the things that listeners may not be aware is that if a medical officer of health issues a Section 22 order that impacts businesses, say closings and the like, and has financial repercussions as a result, there's no compensations available. Whereas if the province dictates those closings, typically, and you're seeing it again, the province and the federal government are coming through with some financial aid as a result of this most recent challenge with Omicron. So those are the kinds of things that we discuss, and we talk about percentages of buildings that can or should be occupied. And he has come in, both have come in, I think, with pretty good science around the way things should be. And I'm just very impressed with their professionalism and the relationship that we have, that we both listen to each other and try to do the right thing for our city and our community, broader community.
Yeah. And it's been a tough year for our community, even beyond pandemic stuff. And I think back to what happened with the Afzal family, and this was an attack by a man who's facing charges, and we don't have to get into that, but there was an incredible outpouring of grief and emotion in our community in June when that happened. As we look back on the year, that's obviously one of the things that's going to stick in the minds of Londoners is that horrific series of events. Getting a chance to look back on it from your position as mayor, what comes to mind when we think of what happened that day?
Well, when I was made aware that evening of the of this tragedy, I felt gutted to imagine that four family members, three generations wiped out because of some sick mind. I can't fathom it. It just there's nothing that's comprehensible about that as that vile act. Once you get past the trying to make a sense of it, then you have to deal with the reality of it. And I was immediately in touch with members of the mosque, members of the police as well, and members of the broader community and our own council about what needed to be done. The local Muslim Association and the Muslim Association of Canada had organized a vigil. That was on a weekend, a Sunday. And so on the Tuesday, a vigil was organized at the mosque on Oxford Street, and we had members of all levels of government, all political parties present to show their support for London and the Muslim community, and specifically to the Afzal family and the little boy who was in critical condition at that time. We didn't know what his state was, but that's what we were hearing. And to me, the heartwarming thing was to see Londoners come together as they did very quickly. You saw those posters, the purple-based posters with the silhouettes of four individuals, and it said hashtag our London family. And those spread across the city. And then on the Friday, a few days later, Reverend Kevin George organized a march from the site of the accident, where I spoke a little bit and helped lead the march down to the mosque. And you know, thousands and thousands of people there, some 10,000, I'm told. And again, that was London at its best, showing support for the family, for this community, saying, you know, this is not our London like that, but these are our London family members. And to be killed because of how they dress, so it's so not rational and tragic. And I stay connected to the London Muslim community because of this, and you hope it gives you a bit of a better sensitivity as a mayor towards people who deal with that kind of racism and discrimination because of the color of their skin or what they wear, or that they're a little, quote, different. Well, they're not different. They're Londoners. And they're Londoners first and always. So I was grateful for municipalities across the country that reached out to me on behalf of their councils to say, we're with you, London. And it was working with the Montreal mayor, Montreal, I apologize, the Quebec City mayor, who his own community had a tragedy in their mosque where Muslims were murdered. And we penned a letter to the Prime Minister to push for that national summit on Islamophobia, which did happen over the summer. And it's because we worked hard to try to make that happen. You know, it's hard to imagine that tragedy was just a touch over 6 months ago is all, but it burns in your brain like it was yesterday. It just does. And if there's a positive, it's that Londoners came together, as Londoners always do, and showed overwhelming support for the survivors of this family, the boy, their son, who lost his sister, his mom, his dad, his grandma. How tragic. But this is when things are down like this, it's London at its best. And it's probably why we took such a strong position in council recently to support fighting Quebec Bill 21, because it's wrong. It's discriminatory. It goes against everything in my soul about a discrimination based on religion. And then to have a Quebec teacher fired because she was wearing a hijab, that is so, so unbelievable in 2021, that this would be deemed by any standard to be acceptable. No. And so our council, on behalf of the City of London, pushed back and said it's wrong. And things are right or things are wrong. And this was wrong. And we made the point. And we're helping fight this case at the Supreme Court level. And we think it's the right thing to do because it impacts every municipality across this country when a different government or any government at any level decides that they want to do things for populist reasons, which frankly to me are it's the worst case of discrimination that I can imagine, that, and it's just sad, that's all. So we said enough, and we as the expression goes, put our money where our mouths were, and council stood behind that, and I'm very proud of that action.
Yeah, so am I. It was the right decision. I'm glad it went the way that it did. And I thought it was good that Councillor Hamou was one of the leaders there. And this is something that obviously impacts her personally. And I thought that was a good message for London to send. I really believe that.
Well, it was the deputy mayor. It was Councillor Hamou, who was just recently appointed to the ward where the mosque is in. And it's where she lives. So it's quite interesting. And myself. So I moved the motion. Councillor Hamou and the deputy mayor, Josh Morgan, seconded it. We had good dialogue around it, and then it went through. And we joined many, many cities across the country. By the way, that was that charge was initially led by Brampton Mayor Patrick Brown, and we had discussions around it at the Big City Mayors of Ontario, and Big City Mayors of Canada have joined in as well. So, and we're members of both, as London is one of the large cities in the country, and so we thought it was important that we not just talk about it, but try to do something to make a difference.
Yeah, I'll actually be talking with Mayor Patrick Brown in a couple of weeks on this podcast about that very subject. So looking forward to that conversation.
Sure. Yeah.
Want to ask you as well, and look, we had that instance, and then we had later in the year what happened with that troop of Girl Guides, where the young girl was killed in a crash that we're still trying to get some answers on. We don't know exactly what's going on here. The police continue to investigate, but not on purpose, not at all the same thing as what happened in June. Nonetheless, it continues to be a very difficult year for Londoners. And that was something that was difficult as well and hurt a lot of people, because so many of us have envisioned, hey, me or my kids walking on the sidewalk, and this just happened to be something that occurred. It was tough, and it was hard for a lot of people.
It took your heart away. Again, when we were in a council meeting when that occurred, and so I immediately got onto the phone with the city manager and our head of security, and then spoke with the police, and there were a lot of things that we didn't know right away, and were there fatalities and how many were injured, but it was all bad, like all bad. So one of the thoughtful things is the premier and I spoke. He said, I'd like to come down to London. I want to lay flowers there. And so we did that together. We laid flowers, and I was joined by Councillor Steve Lehman. It was in his ward where the accident occurred. And I call that an accident, is at least what it seems to be from everything we've heard.
Yep.
But that's no consolation to the family of the little girl who was killed. Oh, my goodness. No consolation at all. Yeah, just and even saying things like wrong place, wrong time. Well, you know what? You can always say that. But it's horrible for her. It's horrible for for her family. It's horrible for the survivors and their families and how they deal with it. Just heartbreaking. And you know, when they say accidents happen, yeah, but you know what? It was a bright light in London that had her whole future ahead of her. And we'll never get to see her shine, and except in memories. And sometimes when that's done, that's all you got left. But I hope for her family that they remember the wonderful memories. And again, Londoners came together, and there's a cascade of flowers at that corner where the incident occurred. But every Londoner, when they heard of that, their minds rushed back to 6 months before, you know, because of what happened to the Afzal family. There's no trying to make sense of any of it. So you just, I guess it's part of life, but it's a sad part of life. And my thoughts and my prayers and condolences are certainly with that family and all of the families and survivors of the Girl Guides tragedy. And of course, my mind goes back to the Afzal family. And again, deepest sympathies for the little boy. Who, by the way, is back to school, and by all accounts, according to his family, is and his teachers, whom I've spoken with, he's adjusting to his new normal, as well as one can without having his folks and his sister. It'll be a tough run for him, but it's so the kind of the two are hand in hand. You're right, because the stark coincidences of the nature of the accidents. One case and the killings in the other. So,
yeah, it's true. And not to get too down a note here, but I do want to ask you about how you relate to situations like this and how you relate to people who have been in that situation. You and I were talking just before we started recording here about this being 25 years this month since your son Bruno was killed. And you've been very open about that, and you've talked about that publicly and what that was like for you and your family. Does that come into this at all when you're talking to people who have family members who are part of these awful incidents?
Well, it was a car accident in the case of my son at Fanshawe in Richmond 25 years ago on the 20th of December. And two boys were killed, and one boy had serious brain injuries as a result of the accident. Can I relate to it? Yes. But You can never say to somebody, I know how you feel. You can't say that because their feelings and their interpretation of this is so very profoundly personal. But at some level, because of having gone through it, my wife and I and my daughter, I mean, my daughter lost her year at Brescia. My wife lost her business in Stratford. I cut out community for, I just needed to kind of be whole with my family. And so everybody responds to that differently. But when that happens, as it did 6 months ago and just this past month, all those memories come back and you're not always able to go immediately to the family and talk to them, because it doesn't mean they necessarily want to talk to you. So you pick your spots. I mean, if you remember late the year before when we had the Teeple Terrace situation, and then we had Woodman explosion. Mm-hmm. That was in 2020, and I didn't want to speak to the police officers or the firefighters who were injured in that until it was time. And you don't always know when the right time is, but as that happens, the words will come. But it's not because I've got a specific perch that I do think I understand some, but everybody's grief is profoundly individual. So that's why to those families, you know, it's as close as my heart, and I wish them well as they work through it. And by the way, you never say get over it. Never. 25 years later, you don't get over it. You're working through it, and that's the language, you know. And the language does matter. Words matter.
Yep.
And so, as these people work through this in whatever way that means to them, my hope is they'll have the love of their family and friends to continue to support them. You know, it's because all those stages of grief, I know what it's like. And so with this family, with the girl guide, this little 8-year-old Jim, my thoughts and prayers.
Certainly, and the same from me as well. I've taken up quite a bit of your time, but I did want to ask you about some good news stories before we wrap up.
You sure.
know, it's been a tough year, but like there's been some cool stuff that's happened in London this year too. So when I say, hey Ed, tell me about the things that you've really enjoyed as far as being mayor this year, or the things that have happened in the city this year, tell me about some of that stuff.
Well, let me link it from the last conversation. I think the first thing I would say is, when I earlier talked about the resiliency of Londoners, but I think with COVID and with these horrific situations that we just discussed, our community comes together. We did with Old East Village at Woodman, and we did around the although they were out of town families, but we did with the Teeple Terrace situation. Now we've done it with our Muslim community and now with the Grill Guides. In fact, one of the things when I directed that the municipal buildings be all lit blue to honor the Grill Guides movement at that time, I'll tell you, people put blue bulbs in their windows. Other non-municipal buildings lit their buildings blue. And so this community comes together like no community I could imagine. It's London and Londoners at their best. So that's the first positive. I think, you know, there's a few things. You know that every year I do a State of the City address to the community. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly of what's going on in the city. And so when I reflected on our first 2 years, and sometimes it isn't just what's happened this year, because it's always a function of things that have come before that make it work the way it is. What I've been very proud of is this council. This council has done a good job of coming together. I challenged the community at the State of the City and our council to come together and build 3,000 affordable housing units. We call it Roadmap to 3,000. Our city staff, who are superb, we are blessed to have a city staff led by Lynn Livingston. We're blessed to have a staff like that. And they bought in. Our council fully bought in, put money in behind it. The development communities come in behind it. Look what we're doing with the Soho Alliance.
That's a wonderful project. Whenever that project comes up in the news, there's a big smile that comes to my face. It's a wonderful project.
It's the first in Canada where agencies have come together like this to build affordable housing units. And it's immense. But the true story of this is how, I won't say disparate groups, but different groups haven't worked together like this, came together. And it's a model for all of Canada. And so I think that is huge. Indwell, which is part of that alliance, but is also finishing some properties up on Dundas Street, I think is a great news story. The fact that we committed financially to move to electrified transit, which was a commitment I made in the prior state of the city, is coming together. I think our economy, we were the hottest economy prior to the pandemic in this province. And we've had 17 months in a row. So it's all of to the date now where we've had net new employment each month. So that means we're beyond the pre-pandemic levels in terms of employment. And I'm so terrifically excited. We're the hottest economy again in the province. Only Vancouver matches us in terms of 17 straight months of net new employment. We've created some 53,000 net new jobs since the start of the pandemic. So I think that's huge. We're not even factoring in some of the industrial growth, like Maple Leaf Foods coming into London, and it'll be the premier state-of-the-art poultry processing facility in the world. We've got the casino that's going through its process of getting built on Wonderland Road South. That had to be delayed because they had no income as a result of the casinos closing at the time. Then you look at this Amazon to be named type company down in Talbotville, which will be good for employment. One of the nice things, I was appointed this year as chair of the Southwest Ontario Transportation Task Force. And part of that is that it recognizes London as the key regional transportation hub of Southwest Ontario. But more importantly, as my good friend from Mayor of Windsor, Drew Dilkins, my co-chair, said when we talked about rail, he said, "Ed, we support London, because if it doesn't get to London, it ain't coming to Windsor." And Sarnia Mayor Mike Bradley said the same thing. But we're talking about inner city movement as well, and not just rail, but in terms of busing, in terms of air, in terms of road travel and road safety. And it was how we moved people. And we had 10 mayors who were invited, and five band councils of Indigenous communities that were invited to participate in this. We're going to come up with that. We're going to make it public as we're in the process of writing the report now. We've had a number of meetings with key people. And so that is really important, because if you can't move people and goods around, and that's physically and through technology, then you got other challenges. But this is an exciting city to be in. We're healthy as an economy. The spirit of the people of this community is what makes London what it is. And by the way, so you remember that we were used to be called the Forest City, and mm-hmm. We still have our million tree goal that we're going to mm-hmm. achieve, by the way, and we're getting closer. And then what happened? But the Olympics happened, and a couple of people named Damian Warner and Maggie McNeil took to Tokyo and took it by storm from London, Ontario. Then the scholars decided they wanted to put gold medals wherever they went, and medals. London was the most medaled and gold medaled city in all of Canada. So now we are the golden city, but we're not done, Craig. Mm-hmm. Then, as a result of an application put forward through the city, approved by the municipality, Corey Crossman led it from the city's initiative standpoint. We got a lot of players involved in it. Graham Henderson of the Chamber, we had Tourism London. We had folks all together where we put a package together to the minister, federal minister of Heritage, because it was his department who was making a decision. What this is all about is we were looking for London to be a UNESCO, so United Nations, first acclaimed ever Music City Canada. So London Council approved it. The Government of Canada through Heritage Canada approved it. Then I had to go to Paris. And back in November, UNESCO in Paris announced that London, Ontario is Music City, Canada. So like we got it all going. I mean, we just finished the Canadian Country Music Awards. We had the Junos last year. We had the Ontario Country Music Awards. I mean, we got a lot going on in the city, and we've got, and we're a sports mecca as well in terms of all major sporting events come to London, Ontario. It makes me so proud to be in this position as mayor, but truly everybody else is doing the real work. And I'm just sitting here and smiling and supporting as I can. And it just makes me damn proud to be a Londoner.
Yeah, I feel the very same way. I have one last question for you as we look ahead to 2022 here. Will your name be on the ballot when we go to the polls in October 2022 to remain as the mayor of London? You seem to be enjoying the job.
I love the job. I love what I do. And I'll tell you, the longer you do it, the more comfortable you are in your skin on it. Because it's about working with people, it's about working with council, working with city administration, working with our first responders, who are great. Our frontline workers and our health officials, just working with people at all levels. So yeah, I really love what I do. Who gets to do this job? Call me in April, I'll tell you.
Okay, I'll call you in April. We'll talk then. Ed, this was a wonderful conversation. I really appreciate you having it with us today. It's been a lot of fun, and I wish you and your family the best through the Christmas season and into the start of 2022.
Well, thanks, Craig, to you and your family and your little one there, and to all Londoners. You know, I more than anything, I want to say thank you to all Londoners for how you've stood tall through 2021, and we'll get through this, but we'll get through it together as we have with other situations. London comes together when things are at their toughest, and we'll get through this. I just wish Londoners health. And some deserved happiness over this holiday season in 2022.
That's the Mayor of London, Ed Holder, here on the Craig Needles Podcast, which, of course, you can download on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Do that for free. You can find us at classicrock981.com. You can find us at londonnewstoday.ca. All the places that you get your podcast, you can find us there. Thank you so much for listening. In 2021. This is something that we launched that we were pretty excited about. We continue to be excited about the results and the number of people that are tuning in. So that is fantastic. Thank you so much for being amongst the listeners to the Craig Needles Podcast this year. We have bigger and better things coming in 2022. And as the world sort of gets back to normal, and hopefully that happens in the not too distant future, we're going to have more interesting, more fun stuff that we're sort of trying to put together here for the Craig Needles Podcast. So I hope very much that you can stay with us, continue to download, please continue to subscribe, and we will continue to have a lot of success here on the Craig Needles Podcast, which I think, and I continue to say, is fill the void here when it comes to some news analysis and some long-form interviews in London that I just don't think you're getting anywhere else. So thank you so much for being a part of it. We've had a fantastic year, and we will talk to you, as I said, in 2022.